This is the FCB Radio Network. Real talk worldwide. Online at FCBRadio.com.
Necessary rough when I bust. Into your zones, microphones get crushed out. I break the sucker down with dust. I do what I must. Do what the rush.
Welcome to Necessary Roughness. Hey CJ, hey Garb, what's going on? How was your week?
Could have been a little bit better.
Oh, could have been a little bit better. Mine was great.
It could have.
My week was great.
I know you were great.
Garb, what did I tell you last week? I said, make sure, and I quote, your words are tender. Because you might have to eat them things. And guess what? Garçon, do you have a plate for Garbs?
Yes, yeah, Monsieur Garbs. We have a fresh L-shaped steak for you to devour today. Because you must eat this L. And don't worry, it is very tender. Yes.
It's a little crow. I'll have a little crow on the side.
You know, you have all the crow, okay. All the crow you want. All
but it's only one game, bro. It's playoffs. Only one game.
But you just said playoffs before they even played one game.
Why not? I'm a Browns fan. I can't help it.
Oh, my God. You know what?
That's just how we do. You've been here before. You've seen how we operate. You know
what,
Guards?
Guards, we have a saying in the South. When a child or somebody ill-advised says something, all you do is look at them. You say, bless your heart.
Bless his heart. Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. He don't know no better.
Oh, man. It's one game. And they didn't really do too spectacular. The amount of pressure on Baker Mayfield was like, bro, what are y'all doing? You know, this is the thing. Here's what I have to say is that the offensive line, actually line and defensive line too, is like those are like the most important positions in the game. I know, you know, everybody talks about wide receivers, quarterback, and running backs, but you gotta give props to the line because what they're doing is literally blocking the quarterback's life.
Yeah. Trust me, you're speaking to the choir, or you're preaching to the choir, as they say. I am a lineman. That is literally what we do. We are the protectors of the team. Speaking of that, though, the line for the Jaguars did their job, and we got the win over the Colts.
Yeah,
the Philip Rivers led Colts, and that's a future Hall of Fame quarterback we just beat. That's big. That's big for Duval County.
Mm-hmm. It is. I give y'all props on that. You know, I give credit where credit's due. You know what I mean? Like, I give y'all props on that. Congratulations. I'm interested to see what happens in the next upcoming weeks.
Erica, I want you to mark that down. The infamous Garbs Infinite has finally given me props and given the Jaguars credit for their greatness. I want you to make sure you mark that down.
I got it on the board. CJ,
I gave you props on one game.
So
you are now a Jaguars fan, correct?
Well, we have to give it to CJ. He said it was a win.
Yes.
So CJ, I give you kudos.
Thank
However,
you.
The question is, can the Jaguars keep that up?
Oh, I'm 100%. Garb,
listen, Garb's is saying
can.
That you guys are the next Browns.
That's so, because no, Garb's is a hater. That's what he does.
See, come on.
That's what he does.
Come on.
You don't get mad at birds for taking the dump on your windshield, do you? That's what they do.
All right, you guys. So let me tell you guys. I need kind of pick your brain.
Okay.
The Clippers.
Yes.
Oh God.
They kind of lost really
bad. Man. Not just kind of lost.
And they shot 89. What do you guys think about it? Talk to me.
But even worse, okay, even worse, is they gave up a 3-1 lead in the series. It kind of is reminiscent of what that legendary Golden State team did against the Cavs in the 2016 finals, but that's another story.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
You knew I was going to say it. But, like, that was, man, I think Kawhi only had, what, 14 points? Paul George had 10 points for the whole game. Like, that's not good. Like, y'all supposed to be the stars of the team. What are you doing? You can't have games like that. Not a game seven.
Look, this is what happens when the expectations are bigger than the readiness of a team to exceed those. Yeah. The expectations were all there. Mm-hmm. I believe the term is when the hunter turns into the hunted, mm-hmm. you know, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, Everybody had a target on the Clippers. Everybody was praising the Clippers. Everybody just knew the Clippers were going all the way to the finals.
They're going to take a while to LeBron. They're going to take out LeBron.
It was set up. And I'll tell you one thing. That commercial with Kawhi will not age well at all. The new Kawhi Town is looking very underpopulated right now.
It is not pretty.
And like you said, 10 points from Paul George. This was the big acquisition. This was the guy that Kawhi needed to come to seal the deal for the Clippers. And he came up short. Everybody came up short. Game seven.
Man. So interestingly enough, though, with that being said, so I guess, you know, a while back, there was a little bit of issues, you know, between them and the Blazers or something. And, you know, CJ McCollum and Dame Lillard's exchange on Twitter is literally amazing. I don't know if you guys saw it. I'm going to read some of it for you. CJ McCollum says, "Yo, Dame Lillard, you got an extra villa available in Cabo?" And then he goes on. I mean, there's a bunch of different gems here. There's a bunch of different gems, you know. Let's see. He said, "My favorite part." Oh man, I just had it in front of me. And then, oh no, he said, "I guess I should extend this Cancun invite since I haven't made my arrangement yet." That's what Dame Lillard said. Then, like, CJ McCollum actually said, "My last tweet before I finish this glass, they did vote they ain't want to play no more." But I didn't think they was gonna go out like that. That was a side, like, you know, in boxing, right? You know, you get that jab, like, right in the side, like just hit him, and that was one of those.
Yeah, I don't think they meant they didn't want to play, as in we don't want to play in the playoffs anymore. We want to get I don't think they meant we want to get eliminated by the Denver Nuggets.
No, the
Nuggets of truth.
But they played. The Nuggets play well, though. So, you know, I know everybody's talking about the Clippers and being eliminated, like, from a 3-1 lead in this series. But the Nuggets, you got to give so much props to that team for being able to actually come back and do that against the Clippers.
They made history on them.
Yeah.
They're the first team in NBA history to do that, to come back from 3-1. Was it twice, something like that?
Twice.
Two series, back-to-back series. You say, "Nah, we ain't done yet." Kicking in overdrive and take it. Hey, maybe the Lakers need to watch out. Maybe that's a lesson for the Lakers to learn right there. Hey, we cannot let these guys have any hope. That's it. We have to be on them from start to finish.
Yep. And one thing, though, we learned, though, about this Lakers team is that, you know, they adjust from the game one that they played against the Rockets.
Let's not talk about adjustments for the Rockets, right?
Yeah. They adjusted. They lost game one, and they adjusted and changed. And so I think that that Lakers team is very adaptable. So I think it's going to be an interesting series, but I'm still going to say Lakers Lakers in five.
Oh, you willing to put something on that?
Huh? What do you want to put on it?
I don't know, man.
We're going to have to come back to that.
Hey, you know what? I need a subscription to Disney Plus, man. I got friends that want to see. I got friends that still ain't seen the Avengers Endgame.
Oh man, yeah. I mean, you know, I'll get you 1 month.
1 month? No, but you know what? You know what? More importantly, what do you think is gonna happen with Doc Rivers now? I mean, 3-1 lead, you blow it with the kind of team and talent that you have. Who's going to take the lion's share of the blame for this?
Who's
going to
take the fall?
I mean, right.
I mean, honestly, I do think that some lies on him, but I mean, they were up. So isn't that, I mean, at some point you got to give the players responsibility. You got to hold them accountable for it. Don't you? Or do you think that Doc should take the ball? What do you think?
I don't know, man.
It's crazy, right?
That's rough because Doc is obviously he's a pedigree coach. You know, he has the championship. Right. He's won more 3-1 lead games, but he's also lost the most. Mm-hmm. I heard that interesting stat earlier today. So I guess you give him another year, but he's going to be on the hot seat next year. They have to win next season.
That's
they
it.
Have to.
Bottom line.
Right, because. Mm-hmm. You have this kind of team, and there's no telling how long you'll be able to keep this kind of team together with all those players. So, I mean, Sweet Lou, he's going to be a starter somewhere else. Somebody's going to offer him a max contract to come and be the flag bearer of their team. So
be the guy.
Exactly. So it was definitely – this year was definitely a big, you know, go big or go home, and – looks like the Clippers are going home.
Going home. They went with E.T. E.T. went home.
We have tons to talk about. However, we have an amazing interview coming up. So let me get your quick thought about the Big Ten. What's going on with that? Really quick, less than a minute.
Man, I am so excited now. As an Ohio State Buckeye diehard fan, I'm so excited that we get to beat Michigan again this year.
I guess that's all right. You know, the only school in Ohio that matters is the University of Cincinnati. It's all UC. But I guess it's a good thing that the Big Ten is coming back. I didn't think that they wouldn't play, even though they said it. But with all the NFL coming into play and then other conferences playing, I thought the Big Ten was going to be.
I just have to say there's only one the that's important, and that's the Ohio State University.
Whatever.
All right, you guys. With that being said, you guys put your seatbelt on. We'll be right back with Necessary Roughness.
Do you feel like everyone is yelling at each other, but no one is listening to each other or themselves? I'm Kira Davis, host of Just Listen to Yourself, a weekly exercise in critical thinking and drawing our talking points all the way out to their logical conclusions. Because I believe when we take the time to examine our own talking points, we can realize we're not always saying what we think we're saying. Download Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did Paul Revere really say, "The British are coming"? And how was George Washington chosen to lead the first American army? Join us for the Growing Patriot podcast, a place for curious kids to ask the big questions about our nation's history and get kid-friendly answers from the country's top experts. Help your child learn about and cherish America's exceptional history. Subscribe to Growing Patriots on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts today.
This is Necessary Roughness.
Welcome back. We have with us a special guest. So hold on to your seats, you guys. Go ahead, Darvio. Take it out.
Yes, this is a very special guest. This is my cousin, former college football star and CEO of the Morrow Group and Company, Deontay Morrow. Welcome back to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you for having me, man. Blessed to be here.
Hey, man. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. So, since the last time you've been on the show, man, you went a little viral recently.
Yeah, I guess you can say that, man. I was just I was just supporting my fellow, my fellow student athletes that, you know, went through, that were currently going through some of the things that I had to go through and experience during my time as a student athlete. That's all.
Well, for the people who may not know the story, because this was something I didn't even know until it came out. Tell everybody your experience and what you went through and all of that.
I received I attended the University of Iowa. It's a Big Ten school on a full football scholarship. And during my tenure there, I was one of the highly recruited student athletes in that 2007 class. Me and a couple other gentlemen. I played my freshman year. I played eight or nine. Pretty much, I played 85 to 90% of my freshman season. I was a backup, strong safety, and free safety. I started on special teams. So as a freshman, you know, I played a lot, but I also, you know, endured a lot and had to deal with a lot of racial profile and racial discrimination, things of that sort, by not even the student body or the community, but by the coaches. And it was more than one coach. I never really say his name, but I'll just say CD, like I've been saying. He was the head strength and conditioning coach. He was one of the guys that, you know, he would snibble remarks. Back then, it seemed like it was okay, maybe because I had a goal. I was trying to get to the NFL. I wasn't really trying to, you know, get one of the coaches upset with me or be on their bad side. So he would say certain things that kind of referred back to me being from the inner city or, you know, what we would call a hood or the ghetto. And, you know, it would be little jokes that he would say between me and a couple of my other buddies. I was fortunate enough to – I grew up around a group of athletes, man. So I was fortunate enough to play with my best friend who we still best friends to this day. We've been going to school together since the third grade, Bruce Davis, a couple of my little league teammates, William Lowe, Arvell Nelson, things of that, people like that who – grew up in the Glenville area. I grew up in the Glenville area, but I went to Glenville High School was one of the dominant schools and still is. They produced a lot of high profile athletes. Some in the NFL, a lot of players go to college. I went to the all boys school, who's another football powerhouse. Actually, it's a sports powerhouse. I'm not just going to say football. They have more wrestling championships and basketball championships than football state championships, but I went to a football powerhouse, an athletic powerhouse, sports powerhouse school at St. Edward High School. So according to him, you know, he would make little remarks like I wasn't tough enough or hood enough, quote unquote, you see the bunny ears, because I'm living, you know, when, and it's funny because, you know, I'm living when you see I look at the movie, The Hate U Give.
Yeah,
I look at that movie and that's like, hey, I'm not the female in that, but I kind of lived that life. Like I had to be this person when I went to school.
Yep.
And I had to be my normal self. You know what I mean? When I went, when I got back to my normal domain. So I had to be two different people. And then on top of that, I had to be this role model, this, you know, this quote unquote good student athlete. So I had to play three roles as, you know, as a young man. And, you know, he got off by insulting people's characters. And it wasn't just me. He done it to multiple people. It's been out. I did an article with ESPN and some of my other teammates did. So it wasn't just me, but you know, I'm a guy, man. We all family, man. He knows how I am. So I'm calm, cool, collective. I'm laid back. But, you know, when it comes to respect, you know, I'm going to give it. So I demand it back. It's not an option.
It's not an option.
I had never got any.
Yeah, it's not an option because I'm going to give it first and foremost.
You know, I wanted to thank you for bringing your story to light and bringing it to the forefront nationally, you know, especially during this time when addressing these types of things is tremendously necessary in order for changes to be made.
Yes.
And those changes, I'm not just talking about personnel changes, you know, I'm talking about, you know, everything.
Culture changes.
Culture changes, you know.
Structural changes.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There's so many levels to it. So, you know, with that being said, what really was your inspiration for coming forth?
Well, I came forth, like I said, to support the younger guys. You know, it's a different time and era now to where, you know, I didn't have anything to gain by speaking out or any, right. You know, it doesn't make me, I wasn't trying to do that, but I just wanted the guys to know that, hey, you know, he did it to everybody, you know right. What I mean? He did it to a lot more people. Don't be scared to speak out because in this time and era, you know, they are in control. The student athletes are in control of their destiny when it comes to having to deal with things like that as to where, because they have, there are multiple social media platforms. When right. I was in college, it was Facebook and MySpace, and that was it. And because we weren't at the University of Iowa, and they actually, it's crazy, they actually just let you start having a Twitter. We were not allowed to have Twitter. It was team policy. If you had a Twitter, you would be punished some way, shape, form, or fashion. Wow. So you were not allowed to have a voice.
Wow.
And like I said, I grew up, you know, I'm going to defend myself, you know, respect your elders, so on and so forth. You know, old school, I grew up in the old school realm, but
yeah.
I was also taught to defend myself. So, you know, exactly. You know, long story short, we got into an altercation because he made a saying, he made a reference and saying that he would send me back to the ghetto. And I kind of flipped from there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Understandably
and
so.
And people always say, well, how did you know he was referring to the ghetto? Because those are the jokes that he would always make prior to me, you know, getting into the altercation. It was always, oh man, you went to St. Ed's. You didn't grow up in the hood. You didn't grow up where, you know, your other buddies, they went to Glenville. You know, they have metal detectors. There's shootouts. There's drug dealers. There's guns around. You didn't have to deal with any of that. You live privileged. Like, you sound like an idiot because I live directly around the corner from Glenville.
Right.
I lived that. You know what I mean? So when you make a statement is, I'll send your ass back to Glenville. You saying I'm going to send you back to the ghetto. You saying you have that power. No, I'm not assuming. I know exactly what you mean because my teammates, my best friends, they've heard you say it. I mean, you had that on your mind. That's the type of what you think. At 6 in the morning, I'm not going to attack anybody in that way. There's no need.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, one thing, the fact is that as a black man, we know when somebody's on something else when we're speaking.
You know when it's an insult. Right?
No, that's what it is. You know, there's no hiding it because, you know, this is something that, you know, we unfortunately have, it's not the first time that we've had those type of conversations. So I'm sure that you knew your red flags were going off as soon as you know, he started speaking that. So with, you know, I definitely think that, you know, you coming forth in kind of empowered younger players and a lot of other players to come forth as well, man. So like, I commend you so much for that. And like, I think that that's really, really dope. And I think it's really necessary for, you know, people of an older generation, empowering the youth to be able to have their voice heard.
Oh yeah, man, definitely. And you know, it's sometimes it takes that older guy or that somebody that has been through it before for people to believe. And you know, mainly because it's like, well, hey, this has been going on for a while.
Right.
You know, I didn't just want them to think like,
Hey, well, no, this kid, he didn't play, so he's going to say this. Well, no, I played as a freshman, I played as a true freshman, you know, and I transferred because when that situation came to the head coach, who's Kurt Ferentz, who to this day he plays ignorant, which I call bullshit on that, because I actually, that's just what I call it, because me and him actually had an actual sit down. I was suspended from the team after, you know, after our altercation, after he tried to belittle me and disrespect me to the utmost, and I just wanted him to, you know, come in the parking lot. you know just what I mean? I'm in tip top. Hey, listen.
You're in tip top shape.
The man was great at getting us in shape, but you put the wrong motherfucking shape for this one.
You got the wrong one.
Yeah,
so. I saw he was kind of taking a blind eye stance towards the issue.
And it's all a lie because, man, listen, and I explain this the same way, man. In that organization, the strength and conditioning coach at that time and up until this situation came out, he was the second in command. Mm. So, and they've been together. He was the longest tenure coach on the staff. He's been there with them for 20 years. How are you just ignorant to everything that's going on? And I am a former Division I coach, so I know how this goes. I'm fully aware that every day there's a staff meeting.
Right.
If not one meeting, there's two meetings, at least one meeting a day, to where we are discussing player progression, study table, grades, things of that nature. So you know what's going on. And I also know that as a head coach, you're not always hands-on, so you assign certain people to be in control of certain things. Right. You assign him to, yeah. You know, you assign him to control us, make sure we are doing what we are supposed to do. And you allow, if you did my, when I coached, the saying was, if you're not coaching it, you're allowing it.
Well, that was one thing that I was going to say is that, you know, isn't that kind of, you know, the specific team coach's job to round up the players and make sure that they know what's going on with their players personally and within the sport. I mean, that's kind of one of those given jobs, you know, I mean.
Yeah, that's your job, right?
I mean, I put it like this. If Iowa football was a Fortune 500 business, Kurt Ferentz is the CEO because he's the head coach. There should be nothing that goes on that you don't know about that you're not privy to.
Right.
Just like if I was a head coach, I need to know what's going on, what's this, what's that, what's that, who's doing this, who's doing that. You know, you get a report, you get a rundown because I know I've sat in staff meetings. We provide rundowns.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I know people know what's going on. And not to mention that multiple people prior to me have told you, hey, this dude is talking crazy. Hey, right. This dude – and I think, well, and better yet, I have a full-on encounter. I can remember what you said to me verbatim when you told me, like, hey, you need to apologize to him. He has every right to say what he wanted to say because he's been doing this for X amount of years. He ran down his whole resume and said, hey, you're just a freshman here. You haven't started one game. Yeah, you've played, but you haven't started one game. So who are you?
That's not right. No, not at all.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of our interview. We'll be right back.
Hey, y'all. It's your girl, Jessica Lavish. If you want to keep up with all the latest celebrity news and gossip, subscribe to my podcast, Lifestyles of the Rich and Lavish, on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, it's your man. It's your best friend, David. Check out my new single, Looking for Love, available right now on all platforms. Peace.
Necessary. Necessary Roughness.
Welcome back. Let's get right back into our interview.
You know, it's funny. Like, if people, obviously, this is my cousin, so I know him better than most. But if people knew him, like Deontay is a cool, calm, collected dude. And to be honest, even most of the family didn't even know the ins and outs of the situation, which is probably a good thing for them down there. Because if we had a, it probably would have been a different outcome.
It definitely could have been something different. But
yeah,
for me, it was like, man, you know, I'm. It was like, man, y'all didn't like me. I was this dude before. I was this confident, hardworking guy before you met me. Like, I come from being an underdog. I've been an underdog all my life. Like, this,
right,
this is easy. I have multiple options. So I just, you know, right, after, and I talked to the head coach, Kirk Ferentz, and, you know, he said what he said, which I just referred to. And then he said, well, you need to go talk to CD, and you need to go apologize and see if he'll let you back in the weight room, because I was suspended from the weight room. And it was an off season. So if I can't walk into the weight room, he actually banned me. The weight room, I can't walk in the facility.
Right.
Yeah, that's insane.
I walk in there, and he's still Big Bad and Brody. You owe me apology. You don't speak to me like that. Don't you ever talk to me like that. You must have been one to say this for years. My man, I don't even know. We don't even have a rapport. You know what I mean? I'm not really necessarily coming here to make friends with you, especially there's no need for me to make friends with you. I'm going to come in here. I'm going to do my job.
Yeah, do what you need to do.
And they tried to make it seem like I was a bad guy, like I was one of the guys that was a poison on the team because I defended myself, not knowing that, you know, to the public, I, like, before we had this incident, I held records and majority of the stats that we kept. So when it comes to vertical jump, when it comes to broad jump, when it comes to my speed, my 10-yard dash, my 40-yard dash, the only person I was like top three in all time.
Wow.
And this, so wow, the only guy that I was behind was a football Hall of Famer by the name of Bob Sanders. That was the only guy that I was behind when it comes to my records. I mean, my name was hanging up in the weight room. Hey, Deontay Moore, I'm talking about as a freshman. Hey, I got a 40-inch vertical. Yeah. I broad jump. I do this. I do that. And then once we had an incident, oh, you're nothing but a poison. You've been doing this. Like, I mean, it was crazy how I instantly became a bad guy because I'm not going to let you say racial to me.
Right.
So,
right. So, man, obviously you put your story out, mm-hmm, and people responded to it. So what has that been like, man? What has it been like to see all the responses? What have the responses been like once this story went out and went viral and all of that?
I'd rather be rich than famous. So I wasn't really, like I said, I wasn't doing it, you know, to cloud chase or to get my name in the paper. But, you know, it was crazy. You know, ESPN called, they wanted to do an article, Chicago Tribune called. I had another major network call. I can't even put that out there, but a huge major network called, and we spoke on the phone for about 2 hours. That was a crazy part, but, you know, the part that I take more pride in was that some of the parents of the current players reached out to me via Facebook, social media. You know, they kind of found my website for my insurance brokerage and kind of called me that way and just said, hey, would you talk to my son? Can you, you know, do you have time to talk? And so I was touched more by that piece of it than anything. Just,
that's the, you know, purpose. That's the purpose of why you did it in the first place.
Awesome. So a lot of them reached out, you know, they're like, hey, do you mind talking to my son? He's going through some things, even at different schools. So that was the, you know, I took more pride and being proud in that than anything, knowing that I can help and assist, you know, those guys get through their issues. Because don't get me wrong, Yeah, it was actually, Iowa was a terrible situation. It was a terrible setup. I don't care what anybody says. If you were a student athlete at that school during my time there, if you were African-American student athlete during my time there, you weren't allowed to be yourself. It was certain rules that were set in place by the head coach, not the strength and conditioning coach, to where you just couldn't be. I mean, it was tough for you to feel like you were accepted. Whether it was tattoos, earrings, you had to cover your tattoos up, take your earrings out before you walk in the building. Not before practice. Before you walk in the building. Iowa gets cold, below zero. I have my earrings in. I have to take them out before I walk in the building. Otherwise, yes, somebody's going to say something to me. If you have to say something to me more than once, I'm doing punishment after practice. Like that type of stuff, you know what I mean? It's crazy. Yes.
So the whole culture of that building wasn't good, of the organization.
Man, the culture at that time, obviously, up until now, it obviously was the same, because they just now were able to have active Twitter accounts. I was in school in 2007. And they pretty sure they couldn't have Twitter in 2006 either. So let's say from 2006 till 2020, that's 14 years.
That's a long time. So here's what I wanted to ask, because I know after you left, you transferred to Toledo.
Yeah.
So one thing that I do want to, I would like you to elaborate on is some of the differences once you transferred that you noticed immediately as soon as you walked on campus into the football program.
I was allowed to be me. You know what I mean? The rules were, they were not culture specific. You know what I'm saying? It was more like, hey, these are team rules. Hey, if you got earrings and you got tattoo, cool. You got earrings, hey, make sure you take them out for safety issue. You know, you can't practice with them, you know, safety type thing. I was just allowed to be myself, man. It was a more laid back environment. You know, you had a lot of different student athletes from a lot of different backgrounds. We were all accepted as one, brought together for one goal. We weren't trying to be confined into this quote unquote Iowa way or meet a certain standard. Coach Beckman's rule, because he was the head coach at the time. His main rule was, hey, be where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, do what you're supposed to do. You know the difference between right and wrong. Be yourself, though. And that's all I needed, man. And we all thrived. I mean, that's Toledo went from a losing program to, I think we were ranked in the top 25 on multiple occasions that year. I beat, you know what I mean, a MAC school. We beat Big Ten teams. We beat Pac-12 teams. So we were, you know what I mean, during that time frame of I played 2 years. I was there for 3 years because I had the redshirt. During that time frame, and it was a breath of fresh air. Not to mention I was closer to home. So, during my redshirt year, I could always go home and get one of my grandma's sweet potato pies and mom's cooking. So, you know, it was completely different. You know, it was football is football, workouts are workouts. But when you could just be yourself, when you walk around and be yourself, man, you know, that's the best thing. It means so much, man. It means so much. So that's what gave me, just freedom.
It shows the importance of the leadership that is in place. In anything, actually, you know, whoever is leading the team, the army, whatever it may be, the leadership is the most important job, because if you guys all felt comfortable, and I'm sure that was the way that different sports operated as well in that community. So I think that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that at least once you transfer, you got a much better experience to finish off your college career.
Oh man, definitely, man. It was great, man. I wouldn't trade those 2.5 years back for them in the world, man. It was great experience. Awesome. We still won. You know what I mean? We played in bowl games and did the whole nine, man. So it was fun. Right. It was great. It was the best decision for me.
That's what's up, man. All right. Let everybody know, man, how to get in contact with you, man. Give a plug for your business, sir.
All right. You can contact me on Instagram, The Real Insurance Coach. My insurance brokerage is Amara Rubin Company, licensed in multiple states to write home, auto, business, life insurance. I can be, my website is www.marogroupco.com, Maro with all O's, Facebook. You can find me on Twitter as well. I'm not very useful on the Twitter, but you can find me in and everywhere. You can Google the brokerage. Any type of coverage you need, we can get it done for you.
All right, man. Thanks so much, cuz, man. I appreciate you coming on the show, man. It's been some
time. Oh, you got it. No problem, man. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
All right, much love, fellas. Be blessed.
Yo, 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 what's poppin'? What's poppin'? It is your friendly neighborhood Simba, Aaron Malik, here to remind you guys to go stream my new single, Tempo, on all streaming platforms. Yes, all of them. I greatly appreciate it. Love you guys.
We ride, we roll, we ride to the tempo. We rock, we roll, we ride to the tempo.
The dance floor where we come alive. Let loose through your limbs, how you feel inside. Mama, take my hand, show me the best you can.
Do you feel like everyone is yelling at each other, but no one is listening to each other or themselves? I'm Kira Davis, host of Just Listen to Yourself, a weekly exercise in critical thinking and drawing our talking points all the way out to their logical conclusions. Because I believe when we take the time to examine our own talking points, we can realize we're not always saying what we think we're saying. Download Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Necessary Roughness.
Welcome back. It's now time for Taking It to Church. CJ, vámonos.
Yes, I'm going to let my musicians properly get my organ going. Amen, church, tabernacle, and praise the Lord. I am the Reverend Dr. Al B. Good. Now, first and foremost, I must send a special shout out to five lovely members of our church family here. I have to send a love and praise blessing to the dearest down in Jacksonville, Florida, because they are avid listeners to the show and they love every minute of it, and especially yours truly, Reverend Dr. Al B. Good. Amen, church.
Amen.
Yes, Big Russell, Mama Lisa, one of my close friends, Ryan, and his lovely wife, Charlene. I believe that's five people. Do not check my math, because God does not worry about numbers. They hit me on my mobula device. My mobula device and commented how much they love hearing my voice. So praise be to them. Praise be to our Lord. And thank you for listening. Now, I'd like to welcome you all to St. Joseph Missionary Baptist Church of God on Mount Zion on the other side of Sinai, Episcopalian Hands of Faith, Heaven's Grace. Did I say Baptist yet? Down by the riverside. Okay, yeah, I did say Baptist. I just looked at it. Church of Latter-day Saints Incorporated. We welcome you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. As I said, I am the Reverend Dr. Al B. Good. And before we do anything, church, we need to say a quick prayer for the Los Angeles Clippers. And that's an emphasis on lost. Church, by your Heavenly Father, we come to you with heads down, just as the Clippers are looking down at their hands and feet in disbelief at the current situation, as they have successfully clipped themselves right out of the playoffs. Amen. Despite having Kawhi Leonard, Pat Bev, Paul George, and Sweet Lou, and Montrezl Harrell, despite being up 3-1, Lord, despite having the new King of L.A. commercial with Kawhi Leonard riding in a 6-foot like his Snoop Dogg with the crown dangling in the mirror, the bubble has burst on the Clippers down at Disney, where the magic indeed happens. But they won't leave empty-handed, Lord. Oh, no, they won't. I hear they stopped by the souvenir shop and everyone got to go home with their very own mint condition, hot and ready L. That's right, the biggest of L's. May they travel home safely. Amen. Now, church, we need to make room at the altar because I need the great state of Texas, where everything is bigger, especially the L's, to come on up and bow at the altar. We start with Dallas. That's right, where Dak and the gang were defeated by the Rams. But the highlight was Zeke, the running back, Ezekiel Elliott, showing off some new ink that said, "Feed me, as I am. A man, I ate as a man does, but as children, they eat as children do." And Zeke had a lowercase L because he was made to look like a child, all right? Lord, bear with me. He's got that L of the century to lock that jersey in place, to hold that jersey up so we can see that tattoo right there. Let's talk about the play everyone wants to speak on, is the offensive pass interference on Michael Crabtree. Oh, I'm sorry, Michael Gallup. I forget the Michaels. They all run together for the Bishop here. Now, see, it looks like the referee was reading from the rapper's Toby Nkwiwe, chapter 4, verse 3, where he said, "Try Jesus, but don't try me, because I throw flags." Now, that's the New International Version. Some of y'all won't get that till a little later. Now, let's move on. Houston. The whole city of Houston, H-Town, as they're called. Well, that H now stands for hold this L. Let's start with the Rockets, who coach Mike D'Antoni pulled out the oldest trick in the book for angry employees. The ace in the hole, the "you can't fire me because I quit" technique. Yes, Lord Jesus, much like an athlete feigns an injury when he messes up on a big play. Your hamstring didn't pull, Michael. You're just slow. Well, coach, you can have a seat here in the church with me. We have plenty of room. We'll have our wonderful deaconess, Erica Rodriguez, read to you the definition of insanity. Since over the years, you pushed the same one-man brand of basketball over and over again, refusing to make adjustments and expecting different results. See you at Sunday school. Yes, yes. And now, whoa. Coach Bill O'Brien for the Texans, where do you think you're going, son? Come on back here. Tell him. Get these words. You see, I caught you sneaking off. Come on here and sit down, because you need this scripture more than anybody. As the Texans went out in week one and took the biggest of L's, really and truly, you see, Bill O'Brien, who named himself the GM of the team, decided to play hardball with DeAndre Hopkins, and promptly, he hopped out of Houston. And now, Coach Bill O'Brien, you need to learn and read from the book of Bobby Womack, in the King James Version, later reinterpreted by the Casey Haley Version in the New International Version, where it says, and I quote in chapter 4, verse 17, "If you think you're lonely now, wait until week one, Texas, because you could not find a big play anywhere. It was long gone." It was gone. Bobby Womack was saying. Bobby Womack, that's what I call him, Womack. You know, that's because I got sold. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now, church, that's all I have for you today. Praise be to our Father. Thank you for coming out. We're going to have the sanctuary doors closed as it's time for our collection plates to go around the room. We call it collection in good faith. Don't worry, the doors are locked for your safety, not to keep you in here until you give. Thank you, everybody. And we'll see you next time here in the church tabernacle. And remember, no matter what happens, I'll be good. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo.
All right, you guys. That was taking it to church.
Man, that was great. That was great. He took the whole state to church. He took the whole state to church. Like that. That was like pretty accurate right there. That was I'm like almost speechless right now. It's amazing.
That's all right, my son. The spirit is powerful in this place today. Yes, Lord.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel it right now. I'm sorry. What? I blacked out there. What happened? Did the Reverend doctor talk to you all?
Oh, the good Reverend, he came through. He dropped some gems on us. You know, what the good thing is.
The spirit was moving.
The spirit was moving. Oh, That's awesome. That's awesome. Right. I'm so happy that y'all got to talk to him. You know, I've been counseling with him. You know, he's taught me so many things, so many things. Garbs, you might learn something from him. You might learn something from him, especially with how the Browns played. You might need the reverend, the good reverend doctor to come and maybe preach to them. Maybe do their pregame Bible study.
I tell you who really needs them, though.
For those that don't know, the score for the Browns game.
Six to 38.
You guys, what's your thoughts?
Well, I think that it was week one, one game. Mm. And on any given Sunday, I think that statement holds true. So, you know, we're going to see as the season progresses. I tell you who does need the Reverend, though, was DeAndre Swift, a rookie for the Lions, who missed a wide open pass that was in his hands in the touchdown that could have been the game winner at the end of the game. That was insane.
They say the hardest catches the pass. The hardest catches the – Lord have mercy, I'm going to mess up. You know what? You know why? Because I saw that, man, and it just – a situation like that will kill you. Hypothetically, but you'll see it on the – I've been there. You're sitting on the sidelines. You see it. They're wide open. Can't nobody around.
And that was his moment. He was a rookie.
He didn't want the smoke, coach. He wasn't ready for the spotlight. He wasn't ready for the big game. That's all it is.
It was his moment. That's the thing that I was like, oh, bro, like that was your moment. That was like the career sealer at the beginning of first game one, your first time on the field for the city that you're representing. And he missed it. He was like, and it was in his hands though. It was like he was moving too quickly. Like he forgot about the fundamentals. I'm like, bro, what are you doing, man? You got to catch that ball. You cannot drop that pass.
I've been there before where, you know, I played in the AFL and in arena football, the big guys get a chance to catch the ball. And I remember distinctly my coach looking at me and said, if you drop this, you will never get a pass called your way again. And that rang through my head as the ball was in the air. And all I could do was just pray, hands, please do not drop this. And, of course, being the spectacular athlete I am, I caught it and scampered for a good 25, 30. It might have been a touchdown. I don't know. It was a long run. But, even though the field was only 50 yards.
You caught it.
Yeah, I caught it.
You caught it.
I definitely caught it. The best hands in the AFL. That was it.
That was your moment. You didn't.
Gentlemen, we have less than a minute. For those people that are listening to us, they may not have caught the first episode. Let them know how they can, you know, come in contact with you. How can they, you know, see your social media, how can they contact you? Garbs, tell us your last thought really quick and tell us how they can catch you.
Go Browns, first and foremost. Lastly, follow me at Garbs Infinite everywhere. That's G-A-R-B-S Infinite. Instagram, on the book, all of that stuff. Just follow me everywhere. Just type it in. It'll pop up. Whole bunch of links.
All right, CJ, wrap it. Not take a deep breath. Make it short and sweet.
Let him know.
I don't have much to say. Go Jags, Duval County. We in here. We the best, as Khaled would say. Follow me on Facebook, CJ Cobb. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at KingCobb70. Hit me with the crown emojis. Peace.
All right, you guys. Y'all just been listening to Necessary Roughness. You guys, stay tuned. Come back and check us out next episode. Until next time, much love.
Distributed by FCB Radio Network.